Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam is not an ordinary book. It's not an ordinary book. It's not an ordinary scripture. It's not an ordinary Veda. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. We hear this thing again and again, that every verse of this Srimad Bhagavatam is very special. And that if we're chanting the... We're not just chanting the Vedas. We're chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam every day. He was hearing from Gadadhar Pandit, who was crying, and that the letters were washed away from the pages. Why are we hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Why? So we get a scholarly understanding? We're going to study every word of it or something, you know, and try and grammatically understand it? Are we such fools? Srimad Bhagavatam is only understandable by bhakti. It's only understandable by bhakti, pure bhakti. Therefore, Jagadatma Das, what can I know about Srimad Bhagavatam? But on the order of my guru, I'm doing something, following his order. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam should be heard from a para Vaishnava. Yoho Bhagavata para Vaishnavera stane ekantara shraya kara Chaitanya charane. One should fully surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a para Vaishnava. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to understand Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means what? Love of God. Krishna Prema. It's meant for getting Krishna Prema. It's not so we're going to get some philosophy, we're going to be able to defeat the Mayavadis. You know? No. It's meant to be for getting love for Krishna. And how will you get love for Krishna? By hearing from somebody who's got love for Krishna. A para Vaishnava. That's not me. That's not me. No, my spiritual master instructed me that I give you the basic. I give basic training. I give a basic Jagat Atma Gita. Gita teacher. But the idea is we should understand it, what it is. We should understand that Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by scholarly study or by reading commentaries. By reading commentaries, Prabhupada would give that quote from Shastra. Lord Shiva says, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva says, and I know Sukadev Goswami understands. Vyasadev, I don't know if Vyasadev understands it or not. Even his writing, I don't know if he understands it. Or not. Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by your logic and your reasoning. It cannot be understood by logic or reasoning. Neither can it be understood by studying tikkas. Tikka means purports. Purports. You can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam by the purports. That's not how you understand it. Lord Shiva says, you understand Srimad Bhagavatam by bhakti. By bhakti. You know, you can't get away from the bhakti. And think, oh, I'll become a scholar. I'll become a big name. You want to become a big name. You know, famous. I'll write a book. That's not bhakti. Bhakti, we should understand, what is love for Krishna? What is love? And what is Krishna? Like this. We should understand it. And then we will be able to hear. Huh? We're looking for a para Vaishnava. We're praying to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're praying to Krishna. Please engage me in your devotional service. And so that if Krishna is very kind to us, He sends us. He sends para Vaishnava who can speak. You can speak Krishna Katha, and his mood is full of love for Krishna. And that love becomes developed in the heart. It becomes developed, and with that love you can surrender. And then you can surrender. So we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10. Srila Prabhupada has written a synopsis. It is Srila Prabhupada's synopsis of the chapter, isn't it? Or is it the editor's? In this chapter, Bharat Maharaj, now Jad Bharat, was successfully accepted by King Rahugan, ruler of the state known as Sindhu and Sovira. The king forced Jad Bharat to carry his palanquin and chastised him because he did not carry it properly. A carrier of King Rahugan's palanquin was needed, and to fulfill this need, the chief carrier found Jad Bharat as the most likely person to do the work. He was therefore forced to carry the palanquin. Jad Bharat, however, did not protest this proud order, but humbly accepted the job and carried the palanquin. While carrying it, however, he was very careful to see that he did not step on an ant. And whenever he saw one, he would stop until the ant had passed. Because of this, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. The king within the palanquin became very disturbed and chastised Jad Bharat with filthy language. But Jad Bharat, being completely freed from the bodily conception, did not protest. Excuse me, my eyesight. Huh? I lost my spot. Oh, excuse me. My brain has just turned off. When he came to his... excuse me. He protested against... When he continued as before, the king threatened him with punishment And being threatened by the king, Jad Barak began to talk. He protested against the filthy language used by the king when the king chastised him. And the king, hearing the instruction of Jad Barak, was awakened to his real knowledge. When he came to his consciousness, he understood that he had offended a great, learned and saintly person. At that time, he very humbly and respectfully prayed to Jad Barak. He now wanted to understand the deep meaning of the philosophical words used by Jad Barak, and with great sincerity, he begged his pardon. He admitted that if one offends the lotus feet of the pure devotee, he's certainly punished by the trident of Lord Shiva. Okay. Now, this is very difficult for me. Chi-chi. Sri Sukha Uvacha Ati Sindhu Sovirapate Rahuganaivas Vrajata Ikshumad Tate Tatkula Patina Sabida Vaha Purushan Veshana Sannaye Davenopasadita Sa Dvija. My eyesight. Forget it. Dvijavara upalabda esha piva yuva sumhamanan go kuravad do rum vodam alamiti puvavishti grihitahi saha grihita prasabam atad ata avaha sibikam sa mahanubhava. Did it. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadev Goswami continued to speak. Uta. Thus. Can you please read this, Prabhu? My eyesight's blurry. It's getting worse.
Sindhu Sauvira Pate.
Sindhu Sauvira Pate.
Of the ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Sauvira. Rahuganasya, the king known as Rahugana. Rajataha, while going to the ashram of Kapila. Ikshumatyatate, on the bank of the river known as Ikshumati. Tatkulapatina, by the leader of the palanquin carriers.
By the leader of the palanquin carriers.
Shibika Vaha. To become a carrier of the palanquin. Purusha Anveshana Samaye. At the time of searching for a man. Daivena. By chance, upasadita, led near, saha, that, dvijavara, Jarabharat, the son of a Brahmana, Upalabdha, obtained, Eshaha,
this man,
Piva,
very strong and stout,
Yuva,
young,
Sanghanana
Angaha,
having very firm limbs,
Gokaravat,
like a cow or an ass,
Dhuram,
a load,
Vodham,
to carry,
Alam,
able,
Iti,
thus thinking,
Purvavishti Grihitai,
others who were formerly forced,
to do the task,
Saha,
with,
Grihitaha,
being taken,
Prasabham,
by force,
Atat
Arha,
although not fit,
for carrying the palanquin,
Uvaha,
carried,
Shibikam,
the palanquin,
Saha,
he,
Maha
Anubhavaha,
a great soul.
Thank you very much. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, after this, King Rahugan, ruler of the states known as the Sindhu and Savira, was going to Kapilashram. When the king's chief palanquin carriers reached the bank of the river Ikshmati, they needed another carrier. Therefore, they began searching for someone, and by chance, they came upon Jadbharat. They considered the fact that Jadbharat was very young and strong and had firm limbs, like cows and asses, he was quite fit to carry loads. Thinking in this way, although the great soul Jadbharat was unfit for such work, they nonetheless unhesitatingly forced him to carry the palanquin. Text 2. The palanquin, however, was certainly carried by Jadbharat due to his sense of, was erratically carried by Jadbharat due to his sense of non-violence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on an ant, to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. Due to this, the palanquin was shaking, and King Rahugan immediately asked the carriers, why are you carrying the palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Jadbharat was forced to carry the palanquin, he did not give up his sympathetic feelings towards the poor ants passing on the road. A devotee of the Lord does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities even when he is in a most distressful condition. Jadbharat was a qualified brahmana, highly elevated in spiritual knowledge, yet he was forced to carry the palanquin. He did not mind this, but while walking on the road, he could not forget his duty to avoid killing even an ant. A Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. There were many ants on the path, but Jadbharat took care by looking ahead 3 feet. When the ants were no longer in the way, he would place his foot on the ground. A Vaishnava is always very kind at heart to all living entities. In his Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapila explains Surada Savadehinam. Living entities assume different bodily forms. Those who are not Vaishnavas consider only human society worthy of their sympathy. But Krishna claims to be the Supreme Father of all life forms. Consequently, the Vaishnava takes care not to annihilate untimely or unnecessarily any life form. All living entities have to fulfill a certain duration for being encaged in a particular type of body. They have to finish the duration allotted a particular body before being promoted or evolved to another body. Killing an animal or any other living being simply places an impediment in the way of his completing his term of imprisonment in a certain body. One should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification, for this will implicate one in sinful activity. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat krupatam aham vande sri gurum dinatarine paramananda madhavam. Hare Krishna. Okay. So we've been hearing the story of Jad Bharat, and a few things came up. In the previous chapter, he's discussing how Bharat Maharaj was under the laws of karma. He was under the laws of karma. It's clearly said in the verses. And because of previous karma, he had problems. He's having problems because of his karma. You understand? I'm having problems because of my karma. Just because I'm a devotee, my karma is not completely removed. It's reduced. That verse is there in Brahma Samhita. What is it? Yes. That you're getting it reduced. But you've still got karma. You're not free from karma. Don't think you're free from karma. Oh no. I've got one heck of a backache. I'm in pain. I'm exhausted. Why? What did I do? So many sinful activities. And I deserve a lot worse than what I'm getting. But Krishna's minimized. He's minimizing. He's giving you something less. Like this. So Jad Bharat, he had some karma. Like this. And Srila Prabhupada has written, some other things. He made some faults. He made some serious faults. He lived alone. He lived alone in the forest. He was not qualified. He was not qualified for that. He wasn't on the highest platform. He was on the intermediate platform. And Baba, if you're on the intermediate platform, you can fall down. Like that, he was thinking he was more advanced. Don't think you're more advanced, for goodness sake. If you think you're advanced, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Better to keep yourself humble. I'm not advanced. As soon as you think I'm advanced, even if you are considered advanced, because an intermediate is a very rare state, it's rarely achieved. But still, be careful. Be careful. Like this. And because he was kept himself alone, he was thinking he was okay. Like this, this is one kind of apparatus. Guru told you to do like that? Did the Guru tell you to do like that? No. We must follow the Guru, we must follow what we have been trained. And the biggest thing he did wrong, what was the biggest thing he did wrong? He knew. This was no accident. It was not an accident. He knew. But he was puffed up. He knew it, that he shouldn't do like that. And because he was puffed up, he neglected his spiritual duties. His spiritual duties. Nima Prabhupada is also talking about it. We should keep ourselves following the regulative principles. Prabhupada always said, keep yourself trained up. You should know what your duties are. You may be thinking, oh, I'm really great. But are you chanting your rounds? We've had big gurus and sannyasis in our society who weren't even chanting their rounds, some of them, you know. Don't get bewildered. They get bewildered. You can get bewildered thinking you're something. You can get bewildered. This is what happened. He got bewildered. And because of that bewilderment, this deer came along. It's got the karma comes in there. And he became infatuated like a madman. He was thinking of the deer with such infatuation. It's unbelievable. He was glorifying. He was singing the glories of the deer. Oh, you're such a wonderful prince. And oh, I love you. And he was kissing it. What is this? What is this? I mean, nobody does that kind of thing, do they? Do you get hold of a dog and do that, or a cat, or a deer? He became completely bewildered. That is the influence of Maya. Maya. Like this. Huh? Krishna Suya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. That Maya, that darkness. That's her job. That's her job. As soon as Krishna... You know, you're not thinking of Krishna. As soon as Krishna removes his pleasure potency from you, your nourishment potency, you know, bhakti, as soon as that leaves you, immediately Mahamaya will swallow you. And you'll become a madman. You'll fall in love. you fall in love not with Krishna, with something in material nature. You become bewildered. Like this. Or you become a Mayavadi, a Buddhist. Like this. We have to be very careful. We have to understand how this material nature is working. Therefore, it's said that this story is for the devotees. Very important story. Of course, that doesn't mean that Krishna arranged, you know, Bharat Maharaj to fall down or anything. No, that's a... No, it's not the case. No, this is a story given by Krishna in Bhagavatam for the devotees. Like this. So we can understand how serious it is. How serious it is. So this is what Bharat Maharaj slipped up. He thought himself more advanced, he could live alone. And he knew he wasn't okay. And he didn't seek out the association of Paravaishnava. This is an aparad. He didn't seek out Shiksha Guru to hear how to get free from it. No. I got this problem. But I'm not going to do anything about it. Therefore he fell down. But because he was engaged in devotional service, he was engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna gave him a really nice body as an animal. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has written, that's why there's so many animals in Vrindavan. You can become an animal in Vrindavan. Is it okay? Huh? Yes. You can become a worm in Vrindavan. Or a pig that eats the worms. Like this. You can become. But it's a step. It's a step towards perfection, towards love for Krishna. Like that. But don't think, oh, sometimes it is said, oh, you're guaranteed a human form. Isn't it? Prabhupada said, you're guaranteed a human form of life. It's to encourage you. It's to encourage you. That's if you are following, you know. And we're guaranteed, really, what is the most dangerous type of fear? What is the most dangerous type of fear? In Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this thing. And a little an advancement on this path will protect you from the most dangerous type of fear. Is it contradicting? Prabhupada says it means that you won't take an animal birth. But is that the most dangerous type of fear? Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, I don't care if I even take birth as a worm. As long as it's in the house of your pure devotee. So what is the most dangerous type of fear? That I'll forget Krishna. For me, for the devotee, the most dangerous fear is that I'll forget Krishna. That is my biggest fear. I don't want to forget Krishna. You can put me into any situation, Krishna. You can send me to hell. As long as I'm your devotee, as long as I have the association of your devotees, just give me that. Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani ishware bhavatar bhakti ahaituki twayi. I don't want any money. I don't want any followers. I don't want a beautiful wife. I don't want a beautiful wife. beautiful husband. No. I don't want any, I don't even want to be free from suffering. Janmani janmani ishwane. In whatever birth I may take, just give me devotional service to you. That is what the purpose of this Srimad Bhagavatam is. This is Bhagavad Dharma. This is Pancha Purushata. Prema Purushata. That you get love for Krishna. For the devotee, that's the ultimate goal. That's what we want. Like this. So Jad Bharat, he's being helped. Krishna is helping him. He's got his karma. But it says that Krishna gives the karma in such a way. He's reducing your karma. It's just like, you may have such karma that you were never destined to think of Krishna at all. That the thought of Krishna or the words of Krishna may never come on your tongue. Like that, who was that? Valmiki. Huh? Valmiki. He was a gunda. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. But somehow or another, by some fortune, how did it happen? He met with Narad Muni. Narad Muni is the original guru, isn't he? Narad Muni is the original guru of everyone. He met with Narad Muni and Narada showed him by his mystical power, you're going to go to hell. Umrigarhi, no, Valmiki, I don't know what his name was before. Huh? Natanatan. Huh? I don't know. Thank you. Huh? So he was such a criminal. And he said, what do I do? He said, you should chant the name of Ram. Chant the name of Ram. Come on, chant the name of Ram, he said. But his karma was such. His karma, you understand? He had such karma. The name of Rama could not come out of his mouth. It could not come out of his mouth. No way. This is karma. You might think, well, what kind of karma is that? There is such karma that the person can never come in this temple door. They may walk right past the front and somebody may be pushing them, but somehow or another, it'll never be able to come in. There is such karma that even if a person comes and they say, yeah, I want to be a devotee, it's really good. But I just can't stop eating meat. I just can't stop eating meat. Right there. So Jad Bharat, he was like that. He had such powerful karma. Like a curse. Like that. And so Narad Muni, so you chant the name of death. Because you are always associating with death and killing, you chant the name of death. Mara. You chant Mara. And when he chanted the name of death, he could chant that, yeah. Mara. Mara. Like this. So in this way, you see, he's a gunda. He's a gunda. Yeah, he could chant the name of death. He said, keep repeating it, keep repeating it. Mara, 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 Mara. Like this. And when the syllables are put together, reversed. When it becomes reversed, it becomes Rama, 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 Rama. Like this. So in this Narada Muni, this is his mercy. This is his mercy. Like this. And by the power of such a Paravaishnava, such a Paravaishnava, he's so powerful. By their power, he became transformed. And he became a Paramavaishnava. That's the power. That's the power. You see. And even though he was always killing, he became totally non-violent. That was there with Magrari as well, Magrari the hunter. He was also transformed by Narada. Narada Muni transformed him. And when Narada Muni came after some time visiting that ashram where he'd left Magrari, chanting with his wife, you know. Then he came with one other friend, I think Parashararishi. Parvatamuni. They came and Parvatamuni saw his disciple from some distance. He was going to pay Dandabat, seeing Narada coming. But there was some ant. Again, there was some ant. Right? On the ground. And he was getting his outer cloth. Very carefully. You don't want to break their legs, you know. Carefully remove the ants from the ground. And then he could pay full dandabat to his Gurudev. And it was said at that time, this is not very wonderful. This is not so wonderful. Because anybody who becomes a Vaishnava, Vaishnava means that you're interested in love for Krishna. If you want to get love for Krishna, then all the good qualities of the demigods become manifested in the personality of such a person who wants love for Krishna. That's the goal. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's what this temple is for. That's what this Bhagavatam class is for. That's what it's to get. And if we get love for Krishna, then automatically we get everything. We get everything. Therefore, it is said like that. If you get 100 rupees, you don't have any 1 rupee problem. All the 1 rupee issues are finished. You understand? If you get Krishna, then all other issues are finished. All the other issues are finished. You know, your study is over. Your study is over. Your work is over. Your karma is over. And your term of imprisonment is over. It's over. You are out of here. You got love for Krishna. And this love for Krishna is more than liberation. Liberation is an insignificant byproduct. Like this. It's not very important. It's not very important. Like this. And devotee is not concerned with it. Just like Hanuman. Hanuman was offered liberation. Right? Lord Rama offered him, he'll give you liberation. He said, no. I don't want it. All I want is service. I only want service. Loving service. You understand? That's love. Shanta. Shanta is not love. Because there's no service. There's appreciation. But there's no service. Therefore we were hearing that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that. He gave that. Four rasas. He doesn't give shanta. But shanta is there for you in the beginning. That's the symptom of your getting free from maya. Huh? That's the symptom. The symptom of shanta is that you're disgusted. Disgusted with material enjoyment. Like Jamuna Acharya. The example of Jamuna Acharya, he says, whenever I think of sex life, then he says, my face distorts and my lips curl in distaste and I spit. Wah! Nasty material body. It's a nasty material body. Like that. His sex life is available for hogs and dogs. All the species of life that are increased by procreation. Human bodies are just the same. You have to be procreated. Spiritual body is procreated. In the spiritual world, is there procreation? Is there procreation in the spiritual world? No. Do you take birth there? Do you grow? Do you grow? No. Spiritual bodies are eternal. And they're acquired in a different way. They're acquired in a different way. You have to understand how they're acquired. It's because of your love. Because of your love. If you don't have any love, you don't need a spiritual body. Loving mood. Hearing that. So the Krishna servitors, they have particular kinds of activities they're rendering service. Of course, if in your neutrality, well, you can take a body like this chair. This chair is in Santaras. You understand? It's a chair. Or the tree. Like this. It's not engaged in active relationship. It's passive. It's passive, like that. But in Dasya Ras, there's some activity. There's some dealings. And in Sakya, it's more intimate. And Vatsalya, more intimate. And in Madhurya, most intimate. Like this. That's all. So we should understand it. We should understand. Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's not simple. For the complicated, it is very simple. But if I'm complicated, so this development of all good qualities is there. All good qualities is there. There's only one quality I need to achieve. Love. Love for Krishna. Love for Krishna also means love for my guru. If I'm loving Krishna, I love everybody. Automatic. Because one sees that they're all part of Krishna. They're all parts and parcels of Krishna as the one Supreme Father. Sava Yonishu Kuntaya. Tesham Brahma Mahajoni. Aham Bija Padapita. That Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Therefore, a devotee, because he loves Krishna, he automatically sees they're all Krishna's parts and parcels, just in different forms. Therefore, he's a kind friend. Sava Dehina Dehina. He's a kind friend to all living entities. Even vegetables. He understands that everything must be offered to Krishna. Then I'm going to benefit them. I'll use everything for Krishna's service. And he does not like to inflict any violence. Any violence. But of course, when we start studying and hearing from the Paravaishnavas, those who are superior to me, then we understand. Violence doesn't just mean physical, bodily violence. There's even more serious violence. There's more serious violence. You know? And therefore, it is given in the Shastra that the worst kind of violence is violence to the self. Spiritual. There's spiritual violence. I could never have imagined it. But these impersonalists, Mayavadis, it's like one kind of violence. They are also called the killers of the self. And in Ishopanishad, Srila Prabhupada has translated it, the killers of the soul enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Like this. Yeah. So, to do good to others, to do good to others means to give them Krishna. If you have Krishna, something, then give Krishna. Give them Krishna Prasad. Give them some books about Krishna. Tell them about Krishna. Like this. And give them Krishna. Like this. It's not just a philosophical. It's not just philosophical. The person may not even be philosophical. But you can give them Krishna. By your well-wishing. By your well-wishing. And your prayers. You can help them. Like that. So in this way, we should understand that non-violence doesn't mean just not stepping on the ants. Of course, we don't step on the ant. But sometimes, we can't go slowly like Jad Bharat. And sometimes, these red ants, they burn like anything in your house. You get these red ants, right? And they come inside. Well, what do you do? Gamaxin. Kerosene. Turmeric powder. Something. So what do? It's very difficult to live an ideal. But this is the absolute consideration. Srimad Bhagavatam deals with the absolute consideration. How you practically apply it, sometimes you have to adjust. You have to adjust it like that. So that way, I was a grihastha living in Orissa. So many termites there. They'll eat your building down. So you have to put this anti-termite. Well, what happens? It kills them, right? They're poisoning them. Now what to do? We don't commit unnecessary violence. Unnecessary violence. We don't do unnecessarily any harm to other living beings. And we offer sacrifice to Krishna. We offer sacrifice to Krishna. And we understand I'm under karma. I'm under the laws of karma. And we pray to Krishna. Ayi nandatanuja kinkaram. Patitam mam visham eva vambado. Kripayata vapada pankajastita duli sadhisham vitintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. But somehow or other I have fallen into this mess called the material world. How can you live here? You know? One devotee I live with, he's got one of those tennis rackets, you know? And a mosquito, so many mosquitoes where I live. Like this. Like this. And he says, here Prabhu, I'm like. But I don't stop him from using it. I'm using good night. And mosquito nets. And still so many mosquito bites. And malaria is everywhere. Now what can you do? What can you do? You do the best you can and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Prabhu, you have to give him the microphone.
Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Thank you very much for your class.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, this two types of violence, as we understand, that necessary and unnecessary violence.
Yes.
So, unnecessary violence, surely it will cause karma.
Huh?
It will cause some reaction.
Yes.
If you are unnecessary killing. But necessary killing also cause karma, or it is... No.
Yes. Everything we do. Every step you take. Cooking, you like to get... cutting the vegetable. Oops. You know? Grinding spices. Oops. It's not all pure vegetarian, you know. Everything is covered by some kind of fault. Krishna says everything's faulty. This is the material world. It's all faulty. Even if you do, I'm not committing unnecessary violence, you know. I'm just driving my motorcycle and wiping the flies off my face. You know? I was driving down the road. I don't drive anymore in India. I was driving down the road, this goat ran out in the road. Bang! And the devotee next to me, Prabhu, you ran over a goat! I said, well, I'm not stopping to see if it's okay, because the village people are coming out now looking at their goat. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You understand? It's unavoidable. Violence is unavoidable. We don't do unnecessarily. But there's still karma. There's karma to everything we do, every breath I take. Because that is this material world. And that's where I have fallen. Everything is under karma here. I'm completely under karma. But now I'm engaged in the service of Krishna. Other people offer sacrifices. Like prayaschitta, worship of the demigods, the forefathers, the ancestors, the shastras. But we're engaged in devotional service. Krishna says, Sava Dhammam Paricchaja, Mamikam Saranamaja. Don't worry, don't worry. Because you're surrendering to Krishna. Sava Papebhyo. All sinful reaction. Don't worry about the sinful reaction. Yes, everybody's completely bound up here. Completely bound up. You understand? But you're getting a little, you're experiencing Krishna's taking care of us. He's taking care. Okay. But don't think we're not in the whole universe. You're inside a universe. It's the stringent laws of material nature we're under here. This is Devi Dham. You know? But Krishna says, that's Devi Hishu Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya. It's insurmountable. It's insurmountable. You can't get free from it. Completely bound hand and foot. But those who surrender unto me can cross beyond it. But how do I surrender to Krishna? How can I surrender? You have to have some love for Krishna. You have to have love for Krishna. You have to become mad for Krishna. You have to develop greed for Krishna. You know, oh Krishna, please help me. And Krishna can change everything. Krishna can take you out of this material world. Like this. Can anybody else get you out of this material world? We're completely dependent on Krishna like this. Even when you want to leave this material world, Maya will say, oh, don't leave me. I'll give you what you want. You want a whole universe. You can be a Brahma. Again. Like that. You understand? So everybody's bound up here, completely bound up. Their karma's controlling everything. Don't think because we're devotees, oh, we don't have any karma. It's not a fact.
Prarabdha karma is there.
Huh?
Prarabdha karma remains.
Prarabdha.
That's the body.
Yes.
This body is a manifestation of our prarabdha karma.
Yeah.
By chanting Hare Krishna, all the sins and all the other karmas, they go away. But the prarabdha karma stays until the end of the body.
Yeah. And seeds, desires.
That can also be fried by chanting.
Yeah.
But the prarabdha can only go when the body dies.
Yeah. As long as you're in this material world, you have to be careful. As soon as you cross beyond, outside this universe, once you go outside this universe, and you enter into the spiritual sky, woohoo! Woohoo! But until you get out of here, you have to be very, very careful. Be very careful. Mahamaya is here. Yogamaya is there. Yogamaya, she'll take care of you. Don't worry. Mahamaya is taking care of you also here. You understand? So yeah. And there's calm. And you can create more. Prabhupada says they're turning the fan off. We're turning the fan off because we're not doing any more material activities. You're not doing any more material activities, are you? Then the fan is turned off and it starts to slow down. But the switch is always there, isn't it? Okay, any other question? One more question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, as you said that while driving a car, you cross over a goat, a cub.
Yes.
And isn't not that a Krishna's arrangement, that he just came in front of your car?
Yeah, this is also my karma. I must have killed Therefore, here, kill another one. This is also karma. Just to get the opportunity to do those things, to engage in those activities, that's a karma. Just like, I did so much pious activities, so now I get sense gratification. Lots of sense gratification. This is karma. And lots of suffering. This is karma.
But it's an accident, right? You didn't do it purposely.
That's what we think. We think it's an accident. Accident means, Srila Prabhupada said this, accident means you do not know the cause. You understand? Because you don't know what the cause is, you say it's coming by chance. Like these scientists, they say it's by chance, it's by accident. And Prabhupada would say, that simply means you do not know. That's it. Okay? Grantsaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.